Now on Sports Radio 810 WHB, the Interurban Lofts proudly present The Border Patrol with Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan.
Good morning, my neighbor!
It's showtime!
We've got a couple of announcements to make today, and then I'll stay here to make some remarks as well and take some questions. But effective today, Dayton Moore will be leaving the organization, and J.J. Piccolo will be effective immediately responsible for the baseball operations of the Kansas City Royals.
In baseball, when you don't win enough games, change sometimes is required. It's a part of it. And we know that, and we accept that. And everything in life is for our learning, and I will continue to learn through this as well. But I'm thankful for John, as he mentioned, Mr. K, everything that he started, everything that Mr. Glass and Dan Glass and their family did in that journey as well, and handed it off to John Sherman, who's going to steward the organization in a very strong and also a very innovative way, and in a leadership minded that is truly best for the Kansas City community. So thank you. God bless each and every one of you. Proud to be called a Royal, and just thankful for my time here in Kansas City. So we'll see you down the road. Thank you.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Thursday, September 22nd, 2022. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan with Marco Marquez. Today on the show, we're going to talk to Buster Olney from ESPN and get his thoughts on the Royals and Dayton Moore parting ways. Then we'll get into football with our NFL insider, Adam Kaplan. Gary Lezak will give us a forecast. We have former Chiefs wide receiver Gary Dieter in studio in the 8 o'clock hour, and former K-State All-American and Super Bowl champ Nick Lecky with us in studio in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll also play back some clips from yesterday's press conference. You heard John Sherman, the Royals owner, there make the announcement that Dayton Moore would be leaving the organization. And when we found out that there was going to be a when we found out there was going to be a press conference, kind of had a pretty good idea that something was going to happen. But still, when you hear it, it was quite a shock. You know, it wasn't totally unexpected, but the finality of the announcement, and then and have Dayton Moore there, and then he left when it went to questions. That was different. Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. And so, look, here's the deal. I speak from the perspective of a lifelong Royals fan. 49 years old, right? And that was, for people to listen to the show and people to know me, most of the things that I was interested in when I was a kid was because my mom forced them upon me. I shouldn't say that. Because my mom, my mom loved Elvis, so I loved Elvis. I talked about it. My mom loved Billy Joel, I loved Billy Joel. My mom loved Muhammad Ali, I loved Muhammad Ali. My dad or my grandfather was just heavily, just like most people are, heavily influenced by the people that you look up to and the people that you spend the most time with in your family. And I've even said, like, my dad's never been a real huge sports fan. But, when I grew up, born in 72 and just starting to understand sports and follow sports, when George Brett became prominent and the Royals won the division in 76, 77, 78, in 1980, and having experienced that and having memories of watching the Royals and seeing members of my family cry tears of sadness when they lost to the Yankees in the playoffs and then tears of joy when they swept the Yankees in the ALCS in 1980 when George Brett hit that historic home run off of Goose Gossage, having vivid memories of going to games 1 and 2 of the World Series in 85 with my grandfather, going to game 6 with my mom, one of the greatest, moments in Royals history. You're born into that and you're raised through that. And so you become a Royals fan forever. And no matter how bad they are, how good they are, no matter how bad they are, no matter what happens, if you were raised in Kansas City at that time, you're a Royals fan, true blue, no matter what. And then it was tested for a long time. From 80, and look, they weren't all bad. There were some good years in the late 80s. There were some good years in the early 90s. But then after 94, it was tested. And there was some terrible baseball and brutal baseball. And then having my first kid in 1996 and trying to raise him as a Royals fan and taking him out to see a lot of bad baseball. But hey, I'm proud to say, all my kids, Richie really was the one that was the test. You hear about other kids. My kids like these other teams. My kids have been pretty consistent. We love the Royals. We love the Chiefs. We love Mizzou, and they test us, and we wonder why, and they ask you, why do we love Mizzou again? Just watch the game. Don't disappoint your father. And so, it sucked. And for so long, you would think, wow, my kids will never be able to enjoy what it's like to see a baseball team in the postseason or to see a baseball team even compete for a postseason spot. And then 2014 and 2015 happened. And it just didn't happen overnight. Dayton Moore came in 2006, and there was a lot of bumpy road ahead for him before he got this team turned around. And you started to see signs of it in 2012 and 2013. And then 2014 and 2015 will have some of the best memories of my life. Forever. All the games that I went to with all the different members of my family and being lucky enough in the position that I was to be able to take my sons to World Series games, to be able to take my dad to a World Series game, to be able to take my wife to World Series games and playoff games and, being at the wild card game with both of my boys and some of my best friends and sitting for an inning with Mike Boddicker and having him yell at me because I was upset because the Royals were going to lose, and he told me they're going to come back, and I told him, you're crazy, and he said, shut up, and then, you know, because Mike Boddicker's like a, he's like a father figure to me, and he treats me like that, and I need it sometimes. And then they came back and won, and then Tim Grunhard wrecked my back in the, dragging me out of a car in the, in the parking lot. That's who I have to blame, Tim Grunhard. That's who led me down this path of pain.
Yes.
And so it just when we found out that Dayton Moore is being let go, that's the first thing I think about. It's been a lot of bad baseball since then. There was a lot of bad baseball before then. But those 2 years happen, and there doesn't. I probably at least once a week go to the album of photos that I have on Facebook or on my phone of like 100 or 150 pictures, all of 2014 and 2015, and the different watch parties, you know, me being on stage at P&L when the last out was recorded and the Royals won the World Series, and me with my boys on stage, and, you know, me celebrating with all the Kansas City pictures that, you know, well, I mean, just look at the background on my iPad that I look at every morning. Every morning. And what just happened to the microphone? Did that sound different to you all of a sudden? Oh, there you go. Anyway, you see there, that's right after the Royals won the World Series, and all those faces of people in Kansas City that are absolutely going crazy or crying, or because that's how, no matter how bad of a mood I'm in, I look at that every morning and I get a smile on my face. It makes me happy. And those 2 years happened courtesy of Dayton Moore and that regime. And so, do the Royals need a new leader? Yes. Was it time for the Royals and Dayton Moore to part ways? Yes. Are the Royals going to be better off now with J.J. Piccolo at the helm? I don't know. We'll see. I think so. I'm hopeful that they are. I have a lot of respect for J.J. Piccolo. There's reasons to suggest that things will be better, but I don't know. I'm just hopeful. Was it time for Dayton Moore to go? Yes. But, and was there a lot of bad baseball? Yes. But those 2 years happened. And if Dayton Moore had not come to Kansas City and taken over the Royals, those 2 years would not have happened. Maybe they would have happened differently if they hired another guy that was the right guy. But the way it happened, how it happened, at the time it happened because of Dayton Moore and a whole bunch of other people, right? But he was the leader. He changed the fortunes of the Royals. He gave an entire generation of Royals fans a championship to celebrate. And two AL pennants to celebrate, and multiple playoff wins, and you know, just memories that Marco, you, people listening, Nate, all of us will cherish for the rest of our lives. You know, when I'm old and gray, and hopefully I get there, I'll sit back, and if I think about some of the best memories of my life and the best memories of my career, that'll be right there in the top 10 list. And for that, I will forever be grateful to Dayton Moore for what he did for the Royals organization, what he did for this community, what he did for this city. The fact that it was time for him to go doesn't change that. Both can be true. He did something remarkable against many odds that many people thought was impossible, and we all benefited from it. But it's also time for him to go. It's time for a fresh voice and a new direction for the Royals. All of that can be true. All of that can be true. All of it is true. So I just wanted to make sure yesterday not to, you know, I know there's people celebrating, and I get it and understand. People want 2014 and 2015 to come back. People want those feelings. But just remember, many would not have experienced those feelings if not for Dayton Moore. So I have a sense of gratitude, and I also have a sense of excitement because I do believe that it was the right move to make. We'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot.
You know, I think there will be, but I don't want to get in front of JJ on that. We're doing this today or yesterday, so that he's going to work. He's meeting with his direct reports today. You know, there's some processing here of emotion, certainly, but JJ is on this, and I really, you know, his obviously bittersweet for a lot of people here, but he is stepping up, and he didn't sleep much last night. Let's just put it that way. The wheels are spinning, and so I think I would encourage you to talk to him, maybe give him a little bit of breathing room on the decisions, but I would expect that he will have some things to talk to you about as the season winds down here.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate it. We'll check in with Nate Bucati and get his thoughts on the Royals and Dayton Moore parting ways. Nate?
Yeah, Stephen, I agree with, obviously, with everything you said about the memories that were created over the last 16 years. I still remember, you know, I was obviously more embedded with the Royals back when Dayton was hired and than I am now. And I remember interviewing him from his porch in Atlanta when he got the job and listening to him talk about his vision for the team and what he wanted to have happen going forward. And it's been a heck of a ride because it wasn't smooth at the beginning either. I mean, if you remember just a couple years before they won the World Series, a lot of us wondered if Dayton was going to survive the first 6 years of his tenure because the team wasn't building as quickly as everybody, you know, thought it should be, and even as the team did in the way they tried to market it. But they stuck with the plan and they built that thing into that magical ride in 14 and 15. And I never thought I'd see the Royals win the World Series again. I really didn't. I thought the economic model of baseball had made it such that little market teams might be able to make the playoffs every once in a while, but they were never going to have a team good enough to win the World Series. And I was proven wrong. And like you said, those memories are the types of memories that will go right to the top of almost anybody who lives in Kansas City's list over the lifespan of the time that I've lived in Kansas City, which is basically my whole life. So certainly some gratitude to Dayton Moore and respect to a Royals Hall of Famer, no doubter. And Dayton Moore. And also I'd point out the stuff that how invested Dayton Moore has been off the field in the community. Look, he's got some strong statements on some things that draw attention from people and all those things, but I don't think anybody could question whether or not he was personally fully invested in Kansas City. I'll be interested to hear, you know, what he does going forward. But with his See You in the Major Leagues program and the Urban Baseball Academy and all the other different things that he's been a part of around town, if you've been at community-related events, you've seen Dayton Moore somewhere. And not every person that comes to a town as a general manager operates that way. And I think that he deserves the utmost respect for that, too. When it comes to the baseball stuff, I think it's pretty interesting. The conversations that you and I and Bod were having yesterday about the article that was written in The Athletic and some of the issues that the Royals need to address. I think it's pretty It's of note the way they handled this whole thing. I mean, they made it clear this was John Sherman's decision. He made it clear that it was his decision. They didn't do one of those things where a lot of times you see happen in sports where it's, hey, this is both of our decision. This is a mutual parting of ways, you know, something like that to make everybody look good. They made this clear. We are making this move. And I think personally a lot of it ties back to exactly what we were talking about yesterday, which is I think John Sherman looks at it and sees a real problem in his organization of having some players who are not fully believing in the organization and in the system. And, you know, if you make a clear, you know, clearly communicated decision like this, that's one of the first ways to start changing that perception around baseball and within your own clubhouse. This is changing. We are making a move. We are doing something significant because, like you said, I thought he was going to be announcing something yesterday, but I honestly was not sure it was going to be this. Things that you had read from the Jeffrey Flanagans of the world and everything made me think maybe they'll make some lower level behind the scenes moves, but it's not going to be anything major that everybody in town recognizes. And that wasn't the case. That's obviously it's major, major news. And now, like you said, we see what J.J. Piccolo has to offer. I think it's pretty clear, even from that article that we talked about, he's been a little more in favor of being more progressive about some of these things. And he's going to have the chance now to do that. And I think that the thing that I like about John Sherman is when he came in, he didn't make these moves right away. He let everybody do their jobs the way that they wanted to do their jobs. He sat back and observed and took careful notes, I believe, and then formulated his opinion on what needed to happen with the team, which makes me feel a lot better about the fact that he's not just, because it can look on the outside like, well, he's just taking the next guy. And I don't, the guy that's, you know, that's already here, you know, and I don't know how it's going to work out with J.J. Piccolo any more than you do or anybody else. I hope it works out well because I'm a fan of his, but we'll have to wait and see. He's never done this before. But I do believe that this shows that this was not just like a decision made on a whim by John Sherman. I think this is something that has taken a long, thoughtful process, and I like the way that John Sherman is handling his business right now. I really do.
So were you surprised at the timing of it?
I think I was surprised by it, you know, even timing or no timing. You know, when we, like you said, when we found out there was going to be a news conference yesterday, I thought it was a possibility. I definitely thought it was a possibility. But if you had asked me to go on DraftKings with my account and put some money on it, I think I would have put money on Dayton Moore not getting let go. I would have put money on him still being back. So that in and of itself surprised me.
Was that available on DraftKings?
No,
other way.
I didn't even look. I don't know. Didn't occur to me.
Huh. But, would have been a weird prop bet, so.
Right?
Marco, do you have anything to say? Anything to get off your chest about this?
It just feels weird. I don't know.
You know what?
Because I've been dating Moore my whole life, so.
Yeah. Yeah,
Marco's only 16 years old.
Right. Do you know why, honestly, why it feels so weird for you? Should I tell you?
Why?
Because you're 25 years old today. Happy birthday, Marco. Mm-hmm. That's why it feels so weird to you. Play the birthday montage for you.
We'd just like to wish you.
That's why this feels so weird. You've never felt anything as a 25-year-old. Now how do you feel? Is that why it feels so weird?
It's your birthday.
Huh?
It's your birthday.
I'm excited for what
you were born at 5:40 in the morning 25 years ago.
Oh, somebody's been in your messages.
So you've always been an early morning guy. Hey, it was written. Nobody sends me messages. What are you talking about?
How'd you know what time I was born?
Don't worry about that. Whoever produces my show, I do some background checking. I do my homework. You're not here by accident, buddy. How do you feel on your 25th birthday?
Another day?
No. It's just not. What are you going to do today? Anything
quarter
special?
Quarter of a century.
Right.
Go have lunch with my mom and brother.
Where at?
The Peanut.
Oh. Wings or like what?
Yeah. Do some wings. Happy hour drinking.
Oh.
You know, since Nate didn't offer me any of his wings, I figured I'd go to the Peanut.
Wow.
I'm just kidding.
Seems like that stuck with you.
Go to the Peanut and watch football, gamble.
That sounds like a good birthday.
Maybe the movie.
What movie would you like to see on your birthday? And was there something out? Was there something?
There's something out that I haven't seen yet. I don't know. I just.
What? Was there something or you don't want to say it?
Hang on. I got to look up the name of it.
It doesn't sound like you want to see it too bad. But it's happy 25th birthday to Marco.
Oh, Pearl. It's a new horror flick.
Okay.
New A24 just dropped.
So you like the scary movies.
Mm-hmm.
So do I.
Dad, did you see the Hellraiser trailer, the new one?
Yes. I made Susan watch the whole, there's a whole YouTube trailer of just nothing but horror movies that are coming out. So we watched like 10 trailers in a row. And that's when I first saw the trailer for Smile.
Yeah.
And that trailer scares the hell out of me. And I want to go and she said she might go with me. And I want to go see the new Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
You
want to see that Devil movie, too.
And I want to see the Devil movie. The Devil, what was it?
The Devil That Prays?
Yeah.
Pray.
Pray for the devil.
Pray for the Devil.
P-R-E-Y. Now, that looks really scary. Nate won't see any of these things, will you?
Oh, no, huh? No way.
I want to see all those movies.
I don't like the scary movies. They make me very scary.
Yeah. See, it's a high entertainment value for me. And so I got that from my dad, who it all started in 1978 when at 5 years old, they took me to see the first Halloween. So.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me at five years old?
No. They weren't paying a babysitter so they could go to the movies. Let me see if I'm right. The first Halloween came out in 1978, right? Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
I saw it the first time when I was in eighth grade, and I don't think I slept for a month.
Yeah, we went to see it, and Donald Pleasance had a wonderful role as Dr. Loomis. It's time, Michael.
That movie's terrifying, man. I haven't seen all the sequels and everything, but that first one, man, that was a good, scary movie.
Yeah. I can't believe he got up after he got shot, you know.
One time I was waking up for school on Halloween, and I used to fall asleep to the radio, and so I woke up to it. And the Michael Myers theme song played as my, like they played it back on, they were just playing it. And I thought I was in the movie when I woke up because it was like my alarm clock.
That's good.
Got scared.
That's a good scare. So happy 25th birthday to you.
Yeah.
Any final thing you want to say about Michael Myers? I mean, Dayton Moore or anyone? It's been Dayton Moore your whole life.
Yeah. Is this what it feels like to get old when something that's been around for well over three quarters of your life?
How's your back feel?
Yeah.
I'm actually using my hoodie as one of your pillows, Nate, right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Your back's hurting, huh?
Need some lumbar support, huh?
Yep.
Hmm. Yeah, now you get it. Yeah, you are getting old, man. Let's go.
Is that sympathy pain for me or what?
I always have sympathy for
Thank
you.
Thank you. We'll take a break. Happy 25th birthday to Marco Marquez. Take to Twitter and wish him a happy birthday. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. Stephen St. John here with two very good friends of mine. We have Colleen and Lindy from the ALS Association Mid-America Chapter. And we're going to talk about a big event that's coming up that I will be the MC for just right around the corner. The Walk to Defeat ALS presented by Locked In Companies. Is that right?
Well done.
I got a text from somebody saying, you better say it this way, dummy. And so here we go. We got it.
And so, he's already yelling at you, and
see,
it's not even walked in.
No, like even before the show started, say it this way. Okay, I got you. I want to be correct, but I'm going to be the MC of the Kansas City Walk to Defeat ALS presented by Lockton Companies coming up on October 1st. And I know we're very excited to get out there at Kauffman Stadium for another walk. We're expecting more than 1,000 people out there as teams of walkers will honor the memory of those who have lost their battle with ALS, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease, and cheer for those who live with the disease, support caregivers, and enjoy a day designed to give hope for the future. So, Colleen, tell me a little bit about the importance of the walk and why people should come out and help support this great cause.
Well, one, thank you, Stephen. One, it's just a fun day. I mean, when you get to have a walk out at Kauffman Stadium and get to experience all of the outfield experience and stuff like that and all the fun that's out there, it's just a great, great day. And then,
and all the food. I hate to say that. I hate to be the fatty in the room, but all the delicious food.
There's a ton of food, a ton of fun. It's just a really great day. But really what it does, as I always talk about, it's kind of a trifecta. It's so important in raising much needed funds so that we can provide the services and programs for our families that are fighting this disease every day. But it's also the awareness so that you understand why it's important to get involved. We need the whole Kansas City community to come out and to support these families to raise these funds, but then also the awareness so that when someone is diagnosed, they know where to go and they know that we're here for them and that we will be with them every step of the way.
And, you know, it's, look, how long have I been on the board now?
A long time, since 2013.
And so, how many years will this be that I MC the walk?
Probably 10, I would say.
Right?
Mm-hmm. My 11th, and you only haven't done it once that I haven't been able to yell at you.
And the one time I didn't do it is because I drove. Marco, you'll appreciate this. They were kind enough to let me. I drove my boys to Dallas for the Canelo fight, and filling in was Todd Lebo. Todd did a nice job. He's a wonderful person. And so, what I was going to say is, one of the things that I appreciate most about being involved in the Joe McGuff ALS Golf Classic, and then of course the walk, I get to meet some of the great people that are battling ALS, right? And it reconnects me with why we do this. And people that have listened to me long enough know that my uncle Richie Ontiveros battled ALS. He was a Kansas City, Kansas police officer, died when he was 39 years old back in 1994, and he battled ALS for over 7 years. And it's painful, you know, to reconnect with people battling this disease, but it's also inspirational. But then, and I hate to even bring this up because say, for instance, at the golf tournament, I had a chance to spend some time with James Bishop and his family, and it was so cool because they brought him over and they said he listens to your show and loves the show because we live in the Northland, and one of our daughters play for Northland Elite. Your daughter plays for Northland Elite, and there's so many connections there. And then just a few months after that, we lost him. He passes away, and it's just, but again, then it's so sad and I feel terrible, but his family inspired me, but that inspires us to work even harder and to do this, right?
I mean, that's,
That's why we do this. Mm-hmm. But I just say that for me, but for you guys, that's got to be extremely inspirational, rewarding, but at the same time, heartbreaking too. But also that fuels your fire, right?
It absolutely does, and it reminds you that, you know, while we're doing really great work, there's still a lot of great work that needs to happen,
right.
And that's it's not coming fast enough. It didn't come fast enough for James and for others, and so we need to stay laser focused to get there.
Right, and that refocuses everyone. And so, speaking of being focused, Lindy, he's been known to walk around this event with a bullhorn. Not kidding, or at least at the very least, a microphone. What do we have? Give us all the nuts and bolts. If people want to take part in the walk, or they want to take part with my team, Richie's Rockers, named after my Uncle Richie and his love of music, or if they want to volunteer, just be donate any. There's no, a number of ways you can be involved, right?
Yes, yes. First, you can go to walktodefeatals.org and search Missouri, and you'll find our walk front and center. Click there, and you can register. You can donate. You can find your team, or I'm sure you're going to tweet out your team link today.
Right.
So go follow his Twitter. I'll text you that later again.
That was very nice. You would have been great in a gangster movie. Like, I'm sure you're going to do that today, aren't you?
Huh? Yeah. Well, it's just a friendly reminder.
No, that's right. I get it. I understand. I don't want to find out what happens if I don't. So, yes, I am, Lindy. I'm gonna.
So you can sign up on your team, donate to you, and then everything happens on October 1st. Like you said, registration starts at 9. The ceremony will start about 10:10, and then the walk starts at 10:30, and it's a little less than a mile, and it goes in the parking lot, everybody park in lot J when you get there, come in gates 2 and 1 or 2 and 6. And then we walk back behind the Jumbotron, or it's called something else now, but Jumbotron.
I like the way that sounds.
Right.
We call it what we want.
Old school Jumbotron.
Video board.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, but Jumbotron sounds, doesn't it better? It sounds like, yeah, you know, more magnificent to me.
Yes. And which we started that path last year, which turned out to be really nice. You get a good view of the video board from the back, which has the World Series years on it.
And great picture opportunities
great
for all the teams, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
And the other thing, too, is you mentioned the ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, okay, this year I won't get choked up. And then, then that doesn't work out. And so tell people a little bit about the ceremony and what happens and how awesome that is.
Well, yes, we start, we try not to get choked up, and I was excited to tell you today that we talked to our person who's going to cut the ribbon, the team that's going to cut the ribbon yesterday.
Okay.
Tony Vick.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
He and his family are going to cut the ribbon, and when we called him yesterday to ask, I've talked to them plenty of times. He and his wife and dad went to D.C. for Advocacy Days in 2019. I was lucky enough to be able to go with him, and he's so amazing, I'm sure, as you follow him on Instagram and all of that.
Speaking of inspirational, right?
Yeah,
right.
He is amazing. And, of course, speaking of choked up, I barely got 2 minutes into the conversation before I cried. Couldn't even ask him.
Right.
My coworker Sarah had to actually ask them to do it. So he will be there with his entourage of big family that will be there to cut the ribbon. You do an amazing job, as you do every year, of bringing it home and making us understand why we're there and bringing the patients into it and talking about why we're there. So
it'll be a wonderful morning. Show everyone the t-shirts since we're on the TV. Hold that up.
Yeah.
This camera right here, I don't know what I'm doing. Marco's directing everything on his birthday.
Yeah.
See, and people could see it. So everyone that takes part in the walk registers gets a t-shirt.
Yep.
So you can wear that t-shirt, support the cause.
Yeah.
And so again, tell people just the quickest way or the best way if they want to get if they can for volunteers.
Absolutely. If you go to walktodefeatals.org, you can hit my email is on there and you can connect there.
You better be thick skinned, let me tell you that. That's all right though.
It's no joke.
Yeah. Hey, but you know what though? She gets things done.
She does.
You better
just be nice.
Right.
Just
That's right. Just follow directions.
Just follow directions. That's what I say every morning. Where are you? What time are you getting here?
Right. Best part, a couple years ago, she calls me and I can see her from about 10 yards away and I'm standing by the stage. So I would play along. I go, hello. She goes, yeah, Steve, where are you? And I'm like, oh, what? And she's what? She's what? I'm right behind you. And she did not like that. Exactly. Like, where what do you mean where I am? I was kind of half asleep.
No.
But I was standing right there, Lindy.
That's funny now. It wasn't funny then.
No, she did not think it was funny.
She did not think it was funny.
Think this is going to be funny. And then right afterwards, she whipped around. She goes, you're right there.
Yes.
That didn't hit the mark like I thought.
No, but you can go get a t-shirt, donate to your team. You can pick up a t-shirt that day. These t-shirts are for you, Marco, and
thank you.
Nate. And
a birthday present.
It's a birthday present.
Happy birthday, Marco.
Happy 25th birthday. Unbelievable. You already get a present before 7 a.m.
I know. First gift of the day. Thank you.
And then tell people, Colleen, they always ask me, okay, where does the money go? How close are we to making some breakthroughs? Because that's important. So maybe give us a little bit of an update of how things are progressing. And like you said, it's never fast enough, but You know, it's every step we take is meaningful.
Absolutely, and we're really close to getting yet another drug approved, hopefully, by the FDA by the end of September with Amylyx. So we're really pushing for that and really excited about it. And we've got other drugs in the pipeline that we're excited about as well. But we also have incredible services with our clinic that we have at the University of Kansas. It's a multidisciplinary clinic. It's fabulous. We also have our quality of life grants and our equipment loan program and many other services and programs that are so important and so needed for these families that are fighting this disease every single day, because it's not a singular person disease. It is a family disease, as you know, Stephen, having gone through this and stuff. And so we're here to support everyone in this fight.
Nate, even though you're not in studio, they brought you a t-shirt. Isn't that beautiful? Oh. Do you want us to hold that for you?
Absolutely. Right. Oh man, I've gotten so many great things from the amazing folks at ALS that In fact, I'm sitting in my basement looking at my picture of me, my dad, George Brett, and Tom Watson that you guys gave me the year that Stephen wasn't able to make it to the golf tournament, and I got to introduce those guys. So, yes, thank you very much for the T-shirt. I appreciate it. And I've been a part of the walk in the past, too. Yep. It's an amazing event, wonderful time, and couldn't be a better cause.
Nate's a great supporter of the ALS Association Mid-America Chapter. And any shout-outs to Park Hill football by any chance?
Let's go. We're going to Liberty North.
Oh, boy.
They're coming to the hill this weekend, so let's go Park Hill.
That sounds like a challenge. Will Park Hill football be out there? Will they be involved on make them walk?
We will. We'll get them out there. If they're not doing film, we'll get them out there.
You know what? Do film after the walk. That's all I'm going to tell you. Lindy, before we run out of time, tell people again how they can sign up.
WalkToDefeatALS.org. Find Missouri, search Missouri, Kansas City, click on that, or go to Steven's Twitter and sign up on his team.
And they can search for my team too, Richie's Rockers. Uh-huh.
If you go to walktodefeatals.org, search Richie's Rockers right there and you'll see that too.
I will tweet it out today because I've been told, I've been mandated. Thank you so much, Lindy and Colleen, for all your hard work. And thank you for coming in here. And,
thank you, Marco.
And you know what? Happy birthday, Marco.
Happy birthday, Marco.
Happy birthday to this kid. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the show. Two of my favorite people in the world, Lindy Elmore and Colleen Wachter from the ALS Association Mid-America Chapter. It's been over a decade now, and I love everyone involved, so they do tremendous work. Can you believe this young man's 25 years old, Nate? He's growing up right in front of our eyes. I can't believe it.
Quarter of a century. Yes. Unbelievable.
Wild to me. You seem mad that I know about this. What's the problem here?
Me?
No, Marco seems, you know.
No, not at all.
Are you sure?
Positive.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm just trying to.
You're trying to make things happen, okay? You got a lot of stuff thrown at you. Coming up on the show, really interested to hear what Buster Olney has to say about Dayton Moore being let go. Then Adam Kaplan, Gary Lezak, Garrick Dieter, and Nick Leckie. One right after another right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.